You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 9, Episode 11 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you once again by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And it was great to get chatting with our sponsor, Anthony Quinn, and his team over in Athlone yesterday at the Derby. But look, it's been a very busy couple of days in the League of Ireland with the Easter period, with the Good Friday fixtures, with the Easter Monday fixtures, and we've had so much happening in between and away from the matches off the pitch as well. We're going to start the pod with a bit of a chalkboard segment this week. Obviously today, the breaking news, Mark Canham departing the FAI. We had Keith Long departing Waterford on Saturday morning after their heavy defeat on the Good Friday. And as a result, we've seen Rory Higgins linked with that job and with the Athlone Town job as well. So we've got a lot to discuss before we can even get to the on-pitch matters, I suppose. But Gary, it's been a hectic few days, to say the least.
Absolutely, yeah, and the Pope dying as well. So it's been crazy stuff going on throughout the place. But yeah, some really good games over the course
of the weekend. Some great games. I know last week on the pod, I said like it can't be the greatest league in the world every week, and I was a bit disappointed with some of the games last week. Some unbelievable games over the last couple of days, particularly in the Premier Division. As I said, there's been so much happening. Our hotline, it's the busiest hotline we've ever had. So we're going to try and get through all of the comments that we got at the very end of the show. We have an absolutely chock-a-blocked hotline for you to bring you. So as a result, with so many games to cover, with so many comments to get through, it's just going to be me and Gary chewing the fat this week. We're into the second series of games now. So what we might do over the next couple of weeks, I think we'll get a couple of respected voices. Not that me and Gary aren't respected, but some more respected voices on the pod. We'll hear from maybe a few of the pundits around the league and get their thoughts on what we've seen so far. But look, let's go into the chalkboard section first, Gary. And Mark Canham departing the FAI today. I think a lot of the articles and stuff I've been reading this afternoon into this evening asking, what is this man's legacy after his time in the FAI? So I'll start with the question that everyone's asking. Does he leave a legacy behind? Is the FAI a better organisation for Mark Canham's involvement over the last number of years?
I think one of the... There's two things that have defined his time in Ireland with the FAI is the hiring of the international manager, Heimir Hallgrimsson. He was our man. We had to wait months and months and months for it to happen. It was kind of hard to understand what the delay was, and we never really knew or still don't know what the actual process was around that. Very hard to believe some of the stuff that was coming out, like even that staged interview like that he did with FAI staff was a total disgrace. So, and then the Colin Healy stuff, that I think that's what he's remembered the most for. Like the Colin Healy stuff is, you know, he did come out and try to cover himself with that. He did respond. He kind of, would you say that he stepped up
no.
to answer those questions?
No, it took too long.
Took too long, yeah. He took a lot of pelters in advance of that interview and probably wasn't a good enough interview.
Whatever about the delay in appointing an international manager and the process around it, it's a football thing. The Colin Healy thing, it wasn't a human thing. Yeah, it wasn't nice.
No, and I suppose that read into more how Mark Canham conducts his business and how stuff at the football side of things was being operated. So I don't think there's much of a legacy to write home about. I think for Mark Canham, it'll probably be a reasonably forgetful period of time that he spent in Ireland. I think the other thing, particularly regarding like the plans and like the summer football across all tiers of the game in the country and different stuff like that, that hasn't yet been fully implemented, if you know what I mean.
Struggling big time to implement it. Big pushback.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like, wasn't there a heap of leagues that joined together and said we're categorically not doing this?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that you could argue, if you wanted to be really kind, you could say like the seeds have been sown for future progress. But I think we need some action, you know, in the short term. And I don't think he has hit that mark well enough. And then you look into the appointing Heimer and the Colin Healy stuff. I think it's a negative legacy that he has left behind him. And yeah, that'd be my take. Like, there's just too much. There was too much shit going on. There was too many talk filling episodes where this is wrong. This is wrong. You know, so I'm just not mad about it. And like, I don't know why he did, like, for being purely selfish, like, did he do anything for League of Ireland?
I never met the man. I never seen him. I'm sure he was at games, but he didn't visit Bishopsgate anyway, as far as I'm aware.
No, he didn't. And you know,
there's only 20 grounds in the country. It shouldn't be that hard to get around them all, you know?
That's very true. And, you know, I'm not sure the Grow was in it for him enough to make that happen. So I would look back on his legacy. Like, who knows what he's going to end up now, you know, director of football at, I don't know, Rushland and Diamonds, or, you know, something like that. Like, it's, I don't know what his next step is going to be, but I'm not sure he'll have too many wins to be talking about. I'm sure he'll come up with like loads of like culture changes and blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
Well, that definitely didn't happen.
Yeah, I know that. But like, you know, he probably got another form to be filled in by FEI staff somewhere, or hired a few lads with clipboards, or, you know, the usual stuff. Got the sandwiches in from England. All of those things were done. So it's kind of hard to really be too kind looking back on it. But
I think you summed it up.
Remembered it very well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you summed it up there as a forgettable spell. It is a forgettable spell, but anything that's memorable is mainly in a negative sense. So I think a very poor time in involved for Mark Canham. Jonathan Hill as well. I think we had a lot of concerns about his time with the FAI. You just have to look at like who's making these appointments. Why are these lads been hired? The FAI has a lot of rebuilding to do yet again.
Well, that's it, and it goes to the pro. Like, the last few hirings haven't been great. Like Jonathan Hill, this, and it never really bode it well. You look back, and you know, he never moved over here. I know Mark Canham, he was asked a few questions about that. You know, where he was living. I know there was other people around the league that were saying, like, does he even live here? What time does he spend here? As I have often said before, what does a Tuesday in December look like when there's no real football on in the FEI? Like, what are they actually doing? So it's very hard to know for that, in that element, like, what has he done? Like, what is his legacy, as you said? So yeah, I'd really like to see a definite swing in the hiring process, how they gather up these people to apply for these jobs. I know probably
maybe look outside of England might be a start.
Well, that'd be a start, but maybe look into Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, we know not where not to look, but maybe let's start looking a bit more locally. I think that would be a good start, because I think while we've often, and a major complaint about football in this country is like the fiefdoms around the place where some Mau lad has ran a league for 30 years and, you know, he's going to run it like he did when he started 30 years ago. And I know that's a lot of, that is an issue in certain parts across the country in certain leagues. But, you know, and there's probably a lot of people that might be a good candidate that half the country might hate because of something that was done a long time ago. So on one hand, it might be best to get someone in from further afield, but maybe with all these proposed changes coming in, it might be better to get someone from within the game that can go, lads, I've done it this way. I know what's wrong. This is the way to go. And maybe Mark Hannam wasn't able to convince people in the same way that someone else that has spent their life in the Irish game is able to convince. So,
yeah,
that'll be one thing that I'd be looking at, certainly.
Yeah, lots to consider, definitely, for the FAI, where they go next. Mark Hannam wasn't the only departure from the game over the weekend. We saw Keith Long depart from Waterford. This is an interesting one, I suppose, for our listeners, particularly our Waterford listeners, because I think me and you have been quite staunch in our defence of Keith Long at the start of the season. We've had tweets most weeks coming into us in the hotline asking, should Keith Long be under pressure? What's your views on Keith Long? And we've been fairly staunch in our defence of him, but I think that result on Good Friday against Sligo, when I seen it coming through, it was kind of an oh shit moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like he'll hardly see Monday.
I still didn't expect it that quickly, but it felt like a real turning point for the worse.
I think it was probably the decision was made maybe 10 days ago, you know, this day last week, right? If Friday is a disaster, then it's over. And I think with the level of disaster that it was,
yeah,
I think it was probably uncomebackable. it was an irrecoverable situation, because you can't be losing six games in a row and then to get bet 4-0 at home to Sligo. And I think we had enough confidence in Long and Waterford team to say, well, yes, they'll do a job on Sligo here. This is the game that they need to get it over the line. That pressure might help them. They haven't played that badly in a lot of games, so I think it was a good opportunity to win, but to lose in the way they did was just unacceptable. So I don't think it's an unreasonable decision by Waterford. I don't think many people would disagree. I know there's been a lot of talk about like the opportunities and the options that he has had in the transfer market, but you know, he still has a great striker in Amand, and you know, he's some really nice players there as well. I know there's a lot of people that are happy with others, but I suppose you can't get everything you want.
Yeah, like we said it last week on the pod, you know, he's around the game long enough to know if you lose 5-6 games on the trot and you're down that end of the table, you're leaving yourself open to something like this happening. So I'm sure he'll accept that. We will get to the hotline later. There's a lot of Keith Long related comments, and a lot of Waterford fans have pointed out, you know, okay, Keith, the decision kind of was the decision made itself in terms of the results and where we are on the table. But a lot of people did point towards the recruitment, and they were pointing the fingers at maybe the Fleetwood people involved in some of the transfer decisions. Now, look, I think I actually made the point on Twitter, just I got into a bit of a back and forth with one Waterford fan. I was interested to get his views on it. I think me and you, and we're obviously big critics of that multi-club system. We wouldn't be very keen on it in the league.
Should be banned, but go on, yeah.
But one, I think I remember us speaking about Waterford, and we were like, this is one where it seems to be working okay, because they were getting a good caliber of player in, and it was obviously giving their best players an opportunity to go over, which obviously it's probably the negative from a Waterford side of view, that if you have a young player in particular that does well, they're probably gone to Fleetwood the next morning, the next transfer window. But like they were getting a decent caliber of player over, and they obviously had other connections in the UK. Then they were able to use their Fleetwood connections to look at other players in the UK and get them in. But there's a feeling now that maybe the caliber of player that's come over this season from the UK isn't as high as it has been in seasons gone by.
Yeah, and that's like the limitation of Waterford, like I'd say, if Fleetwood Town is the main course of this ownership, which it obviously is, and Waterford is just a place for people to go. We can move players around. You know, for example, next year, if there's a problem with Fleetwood, next year, you know, Waterford are buying a player for 50 million. I know that's not going to happen, but like, you know, that solves a problem for Fleetwood as well. And the general fear I'd have with this type of model is, you know, we have a problem with Fleetwood, right? Let's get, you know, make a Hames or Waterford in the process. I know we're getting away from Keith Long and all that, but like, you know, let's let Waterford be the sacrificial lamb as it goes to save Fleetwood. How that looks, I don't really know, but like, it's not as if they have much care for for Waterford either. The opportunities that they that they've provided to players in the past has been good, and they've gotten players over who have performed really well. But obviously, would say they've lost players, as you said. Phoenix Patterson comes to mind immediately.
Yeah,
they were able to get Tommy Lonergan. So like there
hasn't, I know he scored the other night, but he hasn't had much of an impact, Lonergan, which I've been surprised with.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, like I say, he's not suiting himself. It's not, he's not suiting us at the minute over in Fleetwood, right? That's send them beyond over home and see how he gets on. That's a good opportunity for him, and that works for everybody. But I'm not really mad about that whole idea, and it just doesn't sit well with me. But look, I think overall, there's been plenty of games where Waterford have left points behind them, either through stupid mistakes or just pure unluckiness. And as the thing goes, like, you can't be losing six games in a row.
Mm.
And definitely
can't be losing in the manner they did on Friday.
On Friday, yeah. It's just the end of it. Like and as you already said, Keith Long is no bollocks. Like, he knows exactly what when he was walking off the pitch the other night. He knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
2-0 down after 10 minutes. Just can't be done. Like,
just going back, a much win game. Just going back as well to the recruitment side of things. Obviously, it's some of the players, particularly UK players that come over, you'd imagine that maybe he didn't have a huge hand in those coming. But then I think of someone like Andy Boyle been signed, who has barely played since he's gone down there. That appeals as a Keith Long signing. So I don't think you can put all the blame on the Fleetwood people either. It just hasn't gone to plan this season. They had the big drop off towards the end of last year as well. So if you were to look at how many wins they have, say, over the last 20 games, very, very few. I haven't done my homework enough to give you the exact figure, but they had a big drop off towards the end of last season, and they've had a very slow start. So it's all just culminated in you know, the exit of Keith Long, and it's interesting to see where he goes next from here. But Rory Higgins has been talked about as a potential replacement. Could you see that being a runner?
I certainly can. I think, why not? It's obviously a big load of travel for him. He has to probably up sticks. Would it be going down to Waterford? But I think it'd be an interesting opportunity. I think he'd definitely make them better. We've seen that he can do that in the past.
Yeah.
How far could he bring them? Obviously, there's question marks about that. But I can't see why he wouldn't be able to improve the team that's there.
Yeah. And if you were Rory Higgins right now and you have a contract offer from At Loan and Waterford, and they're both offering you same salaries, same perks, is it a simple... A simple decision, you're going to the Premier Division club, or are you looking at a wider picture and thinking, right, if At Loan these new owners come in that have been talked about, that could be a potential sleeping giant? Or
I think you have to take it as it comes to you. You have an opportunity to bring a team that was doing okay last season, had a decent season last year in the Premier Division after coming up. I think you'd have to be looking at it like, do I want to be in the Discover Ireland First Division, or do I want to be playing against the top teams and challenge myself every week? I think that says it all. You made a very good point years ago when we knew Longford Town would be having a tough season in the Premier Division. And you just said, well, at least I could play watching the best teams in the country week in, week out, going to better grounds and better everything. So I think when you say it like that, I think that's a very fair point.
I tell you, he'd be a busy man coaching At Loan as well, because they are not a good team at the minute. We'll get to them later, but let's look back. Let's do our Easter fixture review, I suppose, the Good Friday and the Easter Monday game. So like we always do on the pod when we have these double game weeks, we'll just talk generally about who the winners were over the few days, who had a bad couple of days, and kind of what teams had in different weekends. So what I'll do first is run through the results from the last few days. Obviously, tonight we're recording here on Tuesday night. Derry City have had a 3-0 win against Sligo Rovers, and that was their second win over the course of the weekend, because they had that victory against Galway. The Friday night results, Bohemians 1, Cork City 0, Drogheda 2, Shelburne 2, Pats 2, Rovers 2, that was a belter, Waterford 0, Sligo Rovers 4, the end of Keith Long, and Galway 2, Derry City 3. And then tonight in the Premier Division, Derry 3, Sligo Rovers 0. I watched that, very one-sided game. Cork City 2, Waterford 1, Drogheda 0, Pats 0, Shelburne 2, Galway 2, and then that incredible Dublin and Derby, which no doubt we'll be talking about. Rovers 2-0 up, lost the game 3-2 to Bohemians yesterday. And just to give you the first division results from over the Easter period, starting with the games on Friday, the results there: round 10, Athlone 1, Wexford 1, Bray 4, Longford Town 0, the less said the better, Cove 1, UCD 0, Finn Harps 4, Kerry 2, Treaty 1, Dundalk 1, and Dundalk dropped more points yesterday. They drew 1-1 on Easter Monday with Finn Harps, who put in a great display. It was 1-1 in the Midlands Derby, Longford Town getting an injury time goal there, Kerry beaten in the Munster Derby by Cove by 2-0 down in Tralee, Bray won again against UCD 2-0, and it was Wexford 2, Treaty United 0. So look, we'll start with the Premier Division, Gaz. I've got my good, bad and indifferent list in front of me, and at the very top of that good list has to be Bowes. I know the 1-0 win on Friday wasn't overly convincing against Cork, but who could have seen that result coming? I actually seen a Bowes fan today on Facebook had his betting slip up. He backed Bowes. He put a couple of euro on them at half time when they were 2-0 down against Rovers. It was 125-1. So he got his just rewards, it's fair to say. But an absolutely remarkable comeback yesterday in the derby.
Couldn't believe it when the score was coming in. I think we saw, when did we say, about, were we starting the Longford Town match at that before that game was done? I can't even remember. Yeah, I didn't check it. And then someone in the crowd said, oh, Bowes won 3-2. I was like, thought they were talking shite, which is a very fair point in my opinion. But can't really believe that they managed to win two games in a row, never mind come back from 2-0 down to beat Shamrock Rovers. On the game Monday. I thought Shamrock Rovers were good value from the bits that I saw. They did get to see a lot of the first half. I thought Bowes were quite poor in their defending, and you can really see that with the goals. Like, you know, the amount of opportunity that Honahan.
Yeah, how did he get in there?
Yeah, but he, as was said before, when he hit the post as well, that was a ferocious shot. He had a lot of space and time and, you know, peace to go and take that shot. It was absolutely woeful defending. And then for his goal as well, it was nearly very similar. The opportunity, or you know, the length of the pitch that he managed to go without being challenged at all was disgraceful stuff from Bowes. You know, because even like if you look at the timing, it will say for the first half an hour, it was even enough. You know, those two goals went in close to half time. I think Honahan's goal was around the 40 mark, and then the other goal from Noonan was just before half time. So like, they did well enough to weather the storm. They were doing okay, and then to just turn off and let those goals go in is just shite. Like, and you know, all the, oh, my fault, your fault, what did you do, why didn't you step out, because you're not a challenge them, and players getting there too late, just very poor defending. But you know, as Brennan said in his interview after, which was surprised to see, you know, they're back and ready. That certainly came out in the second half for him, there's no question about that. Brilliant stuff. Like, even Devoy's goal to get one back was a really classy finish. Really nice goal. And then, you know, two deflections for the equaliser and the winning goal gets them over the line. But you kind of need that luck. And if you...
Did Ed McGinty make a bit of a meal of the save?
The winner.
The winner, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Could he have done a bit more? But at the same time, you know, in that position, if you look back at it, I think there was only two Bowes players in the box when that second shot went in, if you look back. Because I was thinking the same. So I watched the winner a few times, and obviously I saw it on Twitter a heap of times as well. But if you look there's so many Shamrock Rovers players there, you're nearly going, well, some of you have to help me out here. I stopped the ball going into the net, but the rest of you clear it.
Yeah.
So while it would be, obviously, if you're going to be critical, yes, he could have done a bit better with it, put it to safety, done something else other than what he did. But at the same time, I thought he did well enough. But look, it was a poor result for Shamrock Rovers. I do want to highlight, though, and I saw someone mention it online, and I'm glad they did. I remember watching Colin Whelan in the first division with UCD a good bit. And I used to say that, like, it was like he could catch the ball with his hands.
With his feet?
No, with his hands.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
That's how well he was able to control the ball.
Yeah.
He is like a magnet. He takes it down and he's well able to turn lads and pass it off and flick it off and all that other stuff. I think he got 2 assists yesterday.
Yeah.
Able to, you know, get out of those positions and you know, make sure that, you know, the whole lot retain possession and continue on the attack. So great to see that. I'm just glad that someone mentioned it, because I used to be flabbergasted about how good he was taking balls down out of the sky for UCD a few years ago.
I think you made a good point, though. Obviously, we heard Reece Brennan after the game, you know, young lad, it was a great interview he gave, but he very much was sticking with the manager. And it's clear from the Bo's performance in the second half that they are still fighting for the manager. So that's a big positive to see. As for Shamrock,
just on that, like you know, they've been shite all year. So like, how real is that? The other thing, like, if you can't get yourself up for a Dublin derby, then when can you?
Well, it seems to be one of the few games they can get themselves up for. That's 2 wins against Rovers this season. We'll just see whether it'll be the start of a genuine turning point, or whether it is just the start of a
false dawn, as you like to say.
False dawn, as I like to say. Yeah, but that's, you said it, look, 2 wins in a row. I know they weren't great against Cork on the Friday, but 2 wins in a row, that's got to give them confidence now. Just quite very quickly on Rovers, I've got them in the bad list here, because they gave away a late goal against Pats on the Friday, and then they give away the late goals here to lose. So it should have been a good weekend for Rovers, and they just couldn't get it over the line in either game. I think one team that I've got here in the good list that might surprise some people is Drogheda. I know they didn't win either of their games over the weekend, but they're still top of the table, and they've come away from 2 tough games unscathed. Still just that 1 defeat this season. A game they shouldn't have lost either against Rovers, because they missed a penalty right at the end, of course. So great start to the season continues, and everyone just finding this Drogheda team very difficult to play against.
Absolutely. It was, I think you're right in saying it was a good weekend. As you said, there was plenty of opportunity to drop points over the course of the weekend. And as you said, they came out unscathed. I think, I think Europe is a very, very, very achievable target. Like, we said last week that, you know, Derry needed to get a hold of themselves, and they did that as well with the 2 wins. But also, Drogheda didn't lose, still scored 2 against Shelburne and held Pats to a 0-0 draw. 2 really positive results. As you said, they've only lost a single game all year, so only team that has done that as well is Shells. So they're really mixing it up. They're doing very well. They've conceded the fewest goals in the division. They're very hard to break down. So they've a serious amount of positives going for them. So I would definitely characterize them as winners over the weekend.
Cork City, the late winner in the Munster derby yesterday. I know they were beaten by Bowes, but I thought they played quite well up in Daly Mount. But the win yesterday, kind of unexpected, I suppose, given, you know, the struggles that they've been enduring over the last number of weeks, Cork, and they were probably looking at Waterford and Keith Long going. And I know, as a supporter, you'll say, oh, that's the wrong time for him to go. They'll probably get a bounce now. But they go 1-0 down and they managed to turn it around. So a big, big win for Cork yesterday. Got to give them plenty of belief.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a fantastic result, particularly in the way that it was done. You know, last minute winner is always a real sweetener. Great limbs, as they say, as well. But yeah, in the Munster derby, one of many, well, in the whole league. It was vital that they managed to stop the rot, and it would have been, I know what you're saying, like there was no new manager bounce because there was no new manager for Waterford, but at the same time, it would have been a team that is, I don't know if hurting is the right word, but like, you know, you've still lost your manager, someone that you've been working with over the past couple of years for a lot of those, not for a lot of those players, for a good chunk of those players. You know, but even like a team like McMenemy, who we'd have known from Longford Town, has played there for a couple of years and under Keith Long. So you'd kind of be like, yeah, it's not great that a manager like that has left, but you just have to go and do your work. And yeah, they didn't manage to hold on to the point. So good weekend for Cork to a degree. They needed that win to stop the rot, but like they just need to be picking up points as quickly as possible.
And we kind of touched on it already, but a very good weekend in the end for Derry. Had to work hard for the victory against Galway, and then I watched them tonight against Sligo Rovers, and they were very impressive tonight. It was an extremely one-sided game. They didn't allow Sligo to breathe at all, put them under pressure right from the get-go, scored three really good goals. Good night at the office for the Candy Stripes.
Yeah, 100%. Them and Bowes, the only teams to win their two games over the weekend, but really good stuff from Derry, something that we kind of haven't seen from them so far this season, getting the job done. You know, in years past, we would have seen Derry filling the togs against Sligo, home or away.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how badly Sligo were doing at the time, Derry always seemed to get in a bit of bother there against Sligo. So they managed to do a significant job on them this evening and, you know, puts them up to sixth place in the table, which is mad. You know, they won. It shows how poor their season has been so far, though. Like, they have five wins now, but two of them came in the last few days. Yeah, they need to start putting a good bit of form together, and no better way to start it than two wins like this.
Yeah, Gavin White scored a really good goal in this game. I know it only happened a couple of hours ago, that match, so if you're listening, you mightn't have seen it yet, but go and check it out on the Twitter somewhere. You'll find a really, really good goal from White. Michael Duffy had another good game as well, so good performance from Derry City tonight, it has to be said. Yeah, so they were the teams that had good weekends over the Easter break. Just looking at the teams, Gary, that had bad weekends, Waterford and Rovers, we obviously touched on those already. I suppose Sligo actually should... Where do we put Sligo? Are they in the good, bad or indifferent? Because they had the great win Friday night, but then they get absolutely tonked tonight. So it's probably an indifferent night for... Actually, you know what? I think I'd have Sligo in the bad camp, because watching Cork win the other night, you know, it leaves them down there in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I was just saying there about Derry, you know, the two wins, but that only put them in sixth position. You know, them and Bowes were the only ones to pick up top maximum points across the weekend. So they could have made a good bit of ground, but there wasn't much ground to be made, unfortunately, because they're coming from shite. You have then... You know, Sligo, they had a good win, but they were playing a team that were kind of, in one respect, down and out, and their manager got sacked the next morning. So it wasn't as if, like, they'd won five games in a row, and this is a total anomaly for Waterford. Then to come up to the Brandywell and get filled in like that, I don't know. Is that going to be the measure? You know, are you going to be looking at that and going, all right, that's not good, but like, we're not competing with Derry. Yeah. We have to try and pick up points from every single game, especially when you're down there. But they're only 2 points behind Waterford. Waterford have to go now and find a replacement manager, and that has to work out as well.
Yeah.
So there's a few variables in the future. And look, they're only a win behind Cork. Like, let's say, for example, Sligo are welcoming Cork to the showgrounds on Saturday, so that is a 6-pointer. If Sligo could get a point, get maximum points there, well then it could be, if you extend out the period of time that you're looking at, it could be a very good week.
Yeah, fair. I think that's a good point. They're probably not competing with teams like Derry this year, so winning the games against the Waterfords and the Corks, that's going to be the ultimate objective for Sligo Rovers this season. Teams that had indifferent Easter weekends, St. Pat's keep saying it, just not firing on all cylinders, is it?
No. No, it's been, you know, they did well to come back in on Friday, and then a nil-all draw against Drogheda in United Park. Like, is that bad of a result considering how well Drogheda are doing? Like, it's a top of the table clash that. Drogheda, as I said earlier, have only conceded all year. Now, I know the firepower that we're talking about with that's up front for Pats is quite strong, but I don't know. Like they still only have 16 goals scored this season. Still not great.
As many as anyone, really, I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But like, would say we would have thought that their attacking options that they had would have been the top in the league, and that hasn't really come to pass yet. So
I think if you had said at this stage of the season that they'd have the same amount of goals as Galway and Sligo, like you'd be scratching your head. But it was the defensive aspect of the game against Rovers on Friday I was more concerned with. If you look back at chunks of that game, I don't know how many times I was watching Joe Redmond trying to hold off three or four lads on his own. He was left very, very vulnerable. Now, funny enough, it was Redmond that gets the late header, the equaliser, an unbelievable goal, what we've come to expect from the super captain up there. He's just a real wrecking ball when he goes up for a header. But he just looked very on his own at times defensively. So surprised at that.
Well, look, I didn't see much of this apart of the highlights, but I would have thought that, you know, with Gravosi coming back as well, that they would have been a bit more solid at the back. But then again, they've conceded the second fewest number of goals in the division. So, like, they're not doing that badly. I think would say, you know, who scored the first goal for Rovers was Jack Byrne.
Yeah, was that the
volley after the save?
Class goal.
Yeah, really, really controlled finish and everything like that. But, like, you know, if a nine gets that anywhere else, do you know what I mean? Like it was nearly like a FIFA goal.
It was an unbelievable save from an angle.
That's what I'm saying. He did everything right. He pushes it out far and it just landed to the lad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The controller would be going
it actually
to
was like a FIFA goal, you're right. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, that's just unfortunate in a way. But that's the way it goes, like you're saying. Jack Byrne was in the right place at the right time and he had a wonderful finish to equalise. So like, it's not that bad of a result at home to Shamrock Rovers. There's no doubt about that.
No. I've got Galway in the indifferent camp. It was probably overall a bad weekend with only 1 point from a possible six, but of course the point came against the champion Shelburne in a very exciting game, and then they were just edged out on Friday against Derry City. But a tough weekend, but they were tough games. So
absolutely, I think that's very fair. They did very well to draw the game up in Shelburne. Tough one to concede three at home, which is probably a bigger surprise than anything else that they conceded three at home.
Yeah.
Against Derry, but I suppose, like, you're going to have, you know, games like that where it just doesn't work for you and you just have not a good night at the office, to say the least.
Keane Byrne sent off. I thought it looked a little bit harsh, the second yellow.
Wouldn't be that hard in the ref for that. So probably was another yellow card. So
the game against Sheffield was an absolutely cracking game of football. Both teams hit the woodwork a couple of times. I think Hickey nearly took the goals out of the ground with one of his strikes. But Moses Dyer scored a beautiful goal in the game against Shelburne. He's been a great addition. So we said how surprised we are that they've got 16 goals in 11 games. It's very un-Galway-like, but Dyer's definitely added a different dimension to them. So, look, I think overall positive performances from Galway. Maybe didn't get as many points as they would like on the board, but that's why I've got them in the different camp. Shelburne, in a different weekend for them as well, I'd say overall, would you?
Yeah, they're racking up a lot of draws that would have been probably wins last year. Like, they're still only 2 points off top, but six draws so far this season, more than half their games. Quite surprising, but also it was probably games that they were owed draws from last year, you know, games that they were did very well to get 1-0 wins or whatever from last season. So, yeah, they're definitely more leaky. I know they've conceded the like 10 or 11 goals. I think it's like the second or third fewest in the division.
Yeah, 10 and 11, like that's very un-Shelburne-like compared to
exactly. Like they did a lot of their good work last year from not conceding. There was a lot of clean sheets. So yeah,
a lot of 1-0
wins. Yeah, that's... And they were able to build on that from, you know, early on last season, whereas now they're conceding way more.
Mm. Now, they have been without Paddy Barrett for a while, and I think we nearly mocked him a bit when he went there, and then we seen how good he was last season. I think he was in both of our Team of the Years and probably one of the first names we had on our Team of the Year sheets, so he's been a big loss at the back.
Yeah, and look, we're probably not mad about his replacement either. Not great. A lot that we have been impressed with over the last couple of seasons, and then to see his replacement is probably not at the level that they need to be defending a title.
Mm. It's still not far away though. They're well positioned in the table, as you said, only 2 points off the top. So I don't think anyone will be panicking up in Talca Park. Right, let's move to the first division. And Bray, unbelievable run of form continues. It included a 4-0 hammering against Longford on the Friday, and then another win against UCD yesterday. I was at the game Friday. I know you weren't there, but it was a bit of a strange game, particularly first half, because Longford started the game like the end of the UCD game, very flat and very passive, and as a result, they fell behind. But then they responded really well, and they missed a host of chances. And then the second goal, Andy Spain just slips. It's a Stephen Gerrard-like moment. They're in 1v1. They score. They go 2-0 up. But Longford then again, after conceding, rally and have chances and can't score. And you're just thinking, if they can get a goal here, they're back in the game. But then second half, whatever, I'm not sure what went wrong with Longford. They didn't come out for the second half at all, and they were soundly beaten 4-0. But Bray, yeah, we didn't see this coming at all, but they're absolutely flying.
Hard to believe, really, based on what we've seen in their squad and like what we thought was coming. But yeah, just... Look, it was a really good win. I had a few people actually say to me that Longford Town definitely didn't deserve to lose 4-0, but I think the number of chances that weren't put away from Longford Town, that's kind of something that we're kind of seeing creeping into the game for Longford. Mm. A couple of chances even there yesterday evening against Athlone should have really been put away and been I'm not saying comfortable or like wins or anything like that. I'm just saying more so
key moments in the game
that, you know, if Longford score here, that changes the face of the game, because Longford have been not too bad defensively, but also still conceding too many City goals. It's a kind of like the unfortunate, like as you said with Andy Spain there, just totally loses his footing. And it's just unfortunate. So yeah, look, it's just tough for Longford Town at the minute, but Bray are just absolutely taken. It's very strange almost.
One thing I did notice about them, they seem to be quite nippy in the final third. Quite pacey up there. So you know, pace wins games, so that's definitely some good ball carriers as well, particularly the lad Ferrazai is very, very good.
Yeah, exactly. Lads that, like I say, just drag the team up. You know, if there's a bit of pressure, they're losing possession or, you know, can't get their foot on it, someone brings them up the pitch is vitally important. And to have someone like that in the team is unbelievable. But yeah, look, I think it's really surprising where they're...
Yeah, because my concern would have been at the start of the year when I looked at them, particularly after the first game against Longford, I looked and I was like, who's going to score goals for them? But everyone seems to be chipping in at the minute. Now, look, I do think the bubble will burst eventually somewhere along the line. I can't see them keeping this level of form going, but it's been a remarkable start for them, really, particularly when you look at the players they lost from last season. A team that had a good weekend as well, they won both of their games, was Cove Ramblers.
Yeah, really good weekend for them, as you said. Not sure, like, I wouldn't say that it was surprising or anything like that, particularly like with their win against UCD. Their win against UCD. Like, we saw them beat Longford. UCD beat Longford there a couple of weeks ago. They were very professional, but probably didn't do a bag to win the game. Like, it took a set piece to beat Longford, whereas I would have thought Cove would have beaten UCD, and I can't remember what I did in my prediction, but I would have thought that Cove had a good shot at winning, because there was nothing to fear in UCD. But really good weekend for them. I know, probably yet to come on to them, maybe I'm skipping ahead of your list, but it's kind of gone to shite for Kerry, is it?
Sure, look, we'll go there. I'll just wrap up quickly. But no, we'll come back to the good list in a minute. I don't want to overlook teams. But just, you're asking me about Kerry. I think my concern about Kerry is definitely in the final third, they look better this season. I've highlighted this young lad, Luke Palmer, again. He played a part in some of the goals against Harps over the weekend. But defensively, they look like they've gone backwards towards last season's kind of form. Like, some of the goals they're giving away are absolutely shocking.
Yeah, no, it hit the nail on the head. Like, even if you look back at the penalty for Harps to open the scoring on Friday, like, it wasn't a runner nearly Harps player got by him and they just dragged him back.
They don't look a well-organized team to me at all.
No, exactly. Very. And like, it's kind of like, it's nearly like helter skelter when someone's coming up to attack on the attack. As you said, they've improved going forward. There's no doubt about that. And that'll only get better, we'll say, as Kelleher becomes, you know, fully fit. But I think the major issue, as you said, is the defensive issues that they have. It doesn't seem to be a cohesive defensive unit.
No.
And they're doing a lot of stupid stuff at the back. So, I'm not really sure. Like, they've a lot of hard work to do going forward, as in progressing into the future. But they need to get a hold of it at the back, because I don't want to say, like, it could be a similar situation to previous seasons very quickly. You know, we talked last year about how well they started the season last year.
Yeah.
And then they didn't win a game after beating Longford Town, I think, in June or something like that.
Well, they beat Athlone on, like, the last day of the regular season.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
They went months and months without winning a game after beating Longford. So, yeah.
They can't have that going on. You know, that can't be a repeat this season. They have to get a hold of it a bit better.
Yeah. Going back to the good list, though, Finn Harps, they had a very good weekend. They had the win against Kerry, and then they put in, I was watching back the game today, they put in a really good performance up in Oriel Park yesterday.
Yep, which was probably, you know, surprising. You know, Dundalk are limited themselves.
You're forgetting who Longford's playing this weekend.
Absolutely. I know. Just give riling them up. In their head, half of them, sure. Probably. Like, is it going to, like, does it matter that they drew the two games, Dundalk? I know you're like, I know we're talking about Harps. They did really well on Friday, because they were behind against Kerry for a portion of the game. I know they got a penalty to get them ahead.
Yeah, they got a couple of soft penalties, I have to say, in that game, Harps. But
well, I thought the first one was a penalty. I thought that was just a stupid drag pullback for no reason. Like, the Harps player got there. Do you know what I mean? Just pull him back for no reason. I know he probably helped the ref with his decision, but like, you can't be doing that either. As I say, give the referee a decision to make, but
yeah, you were asking me about Dundalk.
Like, does it really matter that they draw two games over the course of the weekend? Like, they're going to win the league, you know. I'm not saying it's a completely.
Well, they're only 3 points clear of Bray now, but again, I think this Bray bubble will burst. But
They're on different levels.
The problem is, Kieran Kilduff said, I was reading something he said to the local press in Dundalk today. He is concerned about how few goals they're scoring. Like they have 17 goals in 11, which looks good on the face of it. But I spoke about this on the pod last week. In terms of, you look at the possession stats, the shot stats, the corner stats, all their games, you're looking at them and you're thinking, these boys, how are they not winning these games 3 or 4 nil every week? But they have a lot of useless, but they remind me a bit of Derry from last season. A lot of useless possession.
Cricket.
Getting into the final third, a lot of it's breaking down. Like, okay, wow, you had 16, 17 shots at goal. Like, that doesn't mean they were all good quality shots. Again, leaning into the XG side of things. You know what I mean? Like, if you take a shot on from 20 yards and the keeper catches it easily, are you telling me after, oh, well, we had 10 shots at goal? You know what I mean? They're not creating the amount of genuine, clear-cut chances that they should be for the amount of football they're seeing, for the quality of players they have in the final third.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably why, like we have been overly impressed with a lot of teams in the First Division this year. Like we saw Dundalk not gone on them completely. I don't think there's any question about that. But like, they have been churning out the wins at the same time. You know, before the weekend, they'd only drawn one game and won the rest. They had two draws over the course of the last couple of days. The goal for Harps that they conceded in the last injury time or last couple of minutes was just stupid. But I suppose, like, if you think about what Kilduff was saying, that they're not putting away enough of those chances, well, you're not giving yourself room to make those stupid mistakes and still win the game. You know, if every game needed only to be won by 1-0, then that's all we do. But it's not like that. They should be scoring more goals. You said something interesting to me. I don't know if it was at the weekend or when it was, but Dundalk have only won, three games this season by more than one goal?
They've only won two games of their 11 by two goals or more.
Right, okay.
So they're not absolutely...
So more than one goal. But that's exactly it. Like, they're not putting teams down. They're not putting them to the sword.
On the flip side of that then, because they're not putting teams away, they're now conceding a lot of late goals as well, where they're letting teams hang around in games. You think of the game against Treaty in Oria, where they give away two goals in the last 4 minutes. Treaty the other day, Maddy scores 78 minutes. And then the game yesterday, they concede an injury time. So by not putting teams to bed, you're giving teams that belief. We're only a goal down, we're still in this. And they're getting that late encouragement then.
Absolutely. Like, we were happy enough with Longford Town's performance against Dundalk up in Oriel Park. I thought Longford Town worked very hard that day and they went 1-0 ahead. There was a couple of penalty incidents and stuff like that. But throughout the whole game, Longford Town were only 2-1 down. Do you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't going to happen. There could have been a mistake like what we saw the other day for Harps to equalise. Shit happens. Do you know what I mean? And because that they're only not squeezing by teams, like, I think they've been comfortable in a lot of these games, but they're not scoring the number of goals that you would expect for a team.
And even I mentioned him last week that I think he's got 4 goals already this season, Dean Ebbe, but I'm not seeing a huge amount of involvement from him, even how he builds the attacks and things like that. I've been disappointed with him so far.
How many of those goals were penalties, just as an aside?
I
know one of them was against
maybe two.
Definitely,
I think he's two headers and two penalties, maybe, if I'm not wrong by memory, but... Just I have no doubt he will get goals. He'll probably get a hat-trick this Saturday because he always does against Longford. But I thought he would hit the ground quicker.
Well, not even hit the ground quicker. I thought he just would have continued from last season, honest.
Yeah.
Getting going into a better team, a more established team, full-time setup, picked up a lot of the better players across the First Division, had a couple of Premier Division level players, A. Dervin, Darrell Horgan. You would have thought that they would have progressed on a bit, or Ebbe would have progressed on even more, but that hasn't been the case. But it doesn't really matter. Like, they're still plugging away. This weekend won't really have much of a bearing on the course of the season with the way they're going at the moment.
We didn't talk a whole pile about Harps there. I think we have a couple of comments in the hotline about some of their younger players, so we might get back to them later. Just to round up quickly on the teams that had good weekends, Wexford, probably disappointed they didn't beat Athlone, given Athlone struggles, but they win against Treaty yesterday, so 4 points from a possible six. Not a bad weekend for Stephen Elliott's men.
No, absolutely. They're taking along, especially after that grief with the points deduction and stuff like that. But look, they haven't lost in their last four or five, I think. So they'll be, you know, reasonably happy with their points over the weekend. Keeps them well comfortably in the playoffs.
Yeah, as for teams that didn't enjoy good Easters, despite the late goal yesterday, I think you have to say it was a bad couple of days for Longford Town.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed with the performances across the two games.
Would you?
Very.
You were there on Friday. I didn't get to see it. So
again, first half, if they take their chances, it's a different game. But you don't take them. That's football. Second half, they didn't come out. And then again, yesterday, first half, I thought Longford were the better team against Athlone. Frank Campbell misses a 1v1. Again, the key moments we spoke about. The second half, they do not come out at all for the second half. And it was just the subs that came on, thankfully, made the difference. Luke Wade-Slater had a big impact off the bench. Murta gets his second goal of the season with a lovely header. Great cross from Aaron Doran. But up until that, they never really looked like scoring or threatening Athlone in the second half. And Athlone missed a host of chances, including one where there was two men left unmarked and they actually fall over each other going for the ball. So yeah. If I was an Athlone fan, I would be absolutely sick as a pig this morning looking back at that game, because they should have beaten Longford yesterday. But yeah, the two performances, probably two of Longford's poorest performances this season outside of the Cove match.
Yeah, I think, like we'll say, I only saw the Athlone game in full. As you said, like, it was a very slow start, to say the least, in the second half. And that's been kind. And the subs did make a difference, which was good to see. It could have very easily been a 2-0 win to Athlone, though.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Longford have been decent at home this season. They're going to really need to start strong and get at Dundalk. Like, I think the problem, I would say, for Longford, looking at the game on Saturday, I know we'll come on to it later, but like, if they go into like a shite patch throughout the game, I think Dundalk will punish them.
Yeah. I've actually got Athlone in the indifferent list here, but I think I should switch them to the bad list, because like, they were actually very poor yesterday. Them, so it was a very poor, poor game of football, that game yesterday.
It was. excuse me.
Standard was on the floor.
It was two teams at the bottom of the yeah, first division that was playing. Although I have been happier with some of Longford Town's games this season.
I had been up until the last two games. I'd like to see them get back to being a bit harder to beat, because they were very easy to play through in the two games, which is disappointing. One team who's had a horrendous start, and again, they're very, very lucky they got the 3 points that they weren't expecting. UCD, I thought after they beat Longford, it might be the start of a turning point. Not at all.
No, it hasn't really come to fruition at all. They're really struggling, I'd say. They just haven't got going at all. Like, for to lose the two games over the weekend, it's just, because we've been thinking like, oh, it's only a matter of time that they get going, but they just haven't been playing well at all. I don't really know what's going to take the turn.
And we thought as well, you know, we said, oh, we're playing down in Longford, the pitch will be of assistance to them. Their two most recent games were away, and I know they were both on Astros, but the Bray Astro actually plays all right because it's new.
Right.
No doubt in about 2 years we'll be giving out on the pod how shite it is, but their last two games were away against Cove and against Bray, and they've lost both of them. So, like, the UCD pitch excuse can only go on for so long.
Yeah, well, it's all dug up at the minute. I don't know what state it's in at the moment, but I've seen the pictures of it finally getting the work that it needs. But is that going to make that much of a difference? As you say, they played on two Astros. They probably train on an Astro there in UCD. It's not unheard. You know, they're well familiar with it. It shouldn't be that much of a difference. But yeah, not a good week. Weekend for UCD at all. As I said, like, I wasn't that surprised with the Cove game. But I think how can I be surprised with Bray? Like, they're beating the life out of everybody at the minute. So they're winning everything they put their hand to. So it's probably not surprising either. But yeah, another poor weekend for UCD.
As we said, poor weekend for Kerry as well, just defensively all over the shop at the minute. Indifferent weekend for Dundalk, possibly at Lone. And Treaty, an indifferent weekend as well. Good performance, the draw against Dundalk, but then they were comfortably beaten by Wexford yesterday. But
yeah,
I think that we're always talking about Treaty and these kind of ups and downs that they seem to go through. So maybe not overly surprising at the other side of things. Right, let's move into the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions league and look ahead to this weekend's games. Last weekend was a horror show. Now, we only did the good Friday matches. We didn't do Easter Monday. But I picked up 3 points. You picked up 3 points. And James Donnelly, who was playing on behalf of the listeners, put in probably the worst ever performance of any contributor to this show. He only got one single point, so he will never play in the predictions league again.
Oh, God, that is brutal. Who yeah. What did he get?
The only one he got was, let me just move my laptop out of the way here. Finn Harps, Kerry, he got Finn Harps to win. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But we weren't much better, to be fair.
No, but I suppose it's helped us close the gap ever so slightly on the listeners. We're still a good bit behind. I'm bottom of the table on 42 points. You're second on 44 points, and the listeners are on 61 points. And Dylan Short, a St. Pat's fan, is going to play on behalf of the listeners this week. We'll start with the First Division games. Treaty against Athlone. Dylan going for a 2-0 win to the home team here.
I'd be inclined to agree.
Yeah.
I saw nothing in Athlone yesterday that would frighten me. Some of the stuff as well, like, would say even I know Declan McDain managed to put it wide from a couple of yards, and I know he's under pressure, but you know, you have to be making hay there. They made a couple of stupid mistakes at the back that Longford Town didn't punish as well, so I'd be concerned about their defence as well. So
yeah,
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Treaty.
Yeah, I know Tommy wasn't too happy with me earlier in the season when I said Dundalk could be too professional for Treaty. I think Treaty will be too professional for Athlone here. That Athlone team are horrendously set up. Poor side. Treaty beat them at home 2-0. Bray against Kerry. Surely you just got to be going for a home win here, haven't you?
I can't. On what planet would we be saying anything else? Like, I think it's just a matter of the score here. I'm going for a very comfortable Bray win, 3-0.
I'm going to go 3-1 to Bray, and Dylan going for 2-1 win to Bray. Jeez, that must be the first time ever. All three of us going for a Bray win. Wexford against UCD. Again, you'd have to fancy the home team on current form.
Absolutely. Have to do it. I think it's going to be a very strong weekend for home teams, including Longford Town.
Could we have the famous John Breyer 10 from 10 home?
Both are playing Pat, so no. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Wexford here.
Going exactly the same. Dylan going 1-0 to Wexford. Cove against Finn Harps.
Harps are doing okay lately. Haven't lost in a good while, actually. I think this is going to be a bit of a, probably a step too far. I think Cove kind of weathered their shite over the last few weeks. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to... No, sorry, 2-1 win to Cove.
Yeah, Dylan's going 3-1 to Cove. I was going to say this is the game where the... Yeah, no, this is the game where the home streak will end. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I think Harps get something here. Longford Town against Dundalk. I go first since this is my derby, after all. Longford, as I said, have become too open to play against in recent games, and I don't know why that is, because they were very difficult to play against earlier in the season, as the Dundalk fans would have seen themselves when Longford went up to Oriel and gave Dundalk one of their tougher games this season. So Longford need to revert to that type of performance. I think Dundalk, there's definitely concerns there about their lack of efficiency in front of goals. I think Longford can make this difficult for Dundalk. I think you made a great point. If Longford have a patch, even of 5 minutes of the same sort of performance levels they put in against Bray and against Athlone yesterday, that's going to be where Dundalk will take their moment. That would be my fear here. But I definitely could see a similar sort of game to what we got up in Oriel. I'd probably go for a 2-1 win to Dundalk here, but I think Longford can get something from this game.
Yeah, so do I. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Longford Town. Wow. Why not? Well, like, I think over the...
Dean Ebbe to score, by the way.
An own goal. Well, 1-0 went to Longford Town is what I'm saying. What are you talking... Oh, you're saying that he's going to...
For my one, I'm just going to say Dean Ebbe to score, yeah. Dylan going 2-0 to Dundalk. Right, Bowes against Pats in the Premier Division. Can Bowes back it up? The age-old question.
No.
Pats gave them a spanking, didn't they, on the TV only a couple of months ago?
I don't think they'll be able to back it up, to be honest. And I think, you know, it'll wash the shine off the weekend very quickly, depending, you know, I think Pats are going to win. So if they're going to win heavy, you know, for, say, a 2-0 loss at home, I think that'll knock the shine off the weekend completely. I'd say it'd be ancient history in the minds of a lot of Bowes fans, and it'd be back to, okay, Rennie's not our man. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to Pats.
I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Oh. Why do you think that now?
Worried about Pats, how open they looked against Rovers. I thought that, again, Dawson Devoy was, you know, the performances we've seen out of him in recent games, that's why he was brought back to Bowes, to be a difference maker. Himself and Tierney have been very, very good in recent games. Be interesting to see if young Brennan gets run out here again. Colin Whelan, as you said, was sensational off the bench. So they've got lots going for them in forward areas, Bowes. I think both teams defensively have a lot of work to do. So I think this could be a very entertaining game to watch. I'm going to go 2-2. Dylan, who is a St. Pat's fan, is back in his own team here to win by 3-1. Waterford against Derry.
I think Derry have to back this one up.
Mm.
They have to go down to Waterford and get the win. It's a team in disarray of some description, let's call it, in Waterford. I don't think they'll have any manager or anything like that in place. They've lost a heap of games in the last few weeks. Derry need to go down there and put in a solid performance like they did tonight against Sligo. Treat them in exactly the same way. They're at the bottom of the table. They're shite. We need to go down and just do it. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Derry.
I'm going 3-0 to Derry. Dylan going 2-1 to Derry. Galway against Drogheda. This is a really intriguing one.
Back in Imadisi Park as well. This is a real big test for Drogheda. Unfortunately, I can see them posting their second loss of the season here.
Oh,
it's going to be a very tight one, but I can see Dyers just maybe being the difference here. 1-0 to Galway with Moses to score.
You're going
to...
Oh, okay. I'll give you a bonus point if that's the scoreline. Galway and Drogheda. Dylan's going 2-1 to Galway here, so he's thinking similar to you. I am going to go for a draw here, 1-1.
No surprises.
Rovers against Shells. TV game.
Rovers have to react.
Are Shells just going up there not to lose again? Another draw?
I think another draw would be perfectly fine for Shells here.
Away from home, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go for nil all here.
TV game.
Well, there's that, but also, like, you know, Shells haven't been great.
The TV game was a cracker yesterday, so we can't really use that that line anymore.
No, I'm not even thinking like that. I just think, like, a away draw, nil all or whatever would be just perfectly fine for Shelburne. Keeps them in touch with Shamrock Rovers. I can just see it now with lots of endeavour and, you know, maybe some good saves from the keepers, but I just think it's going to be...
I think the opposite. I think a draw as well, but I think a 2-2 draw. I think...
I like the optimism, you know, that's the games that we want to see, you know, humdingers, but...
You're looking at Rovers there, like Jack Byrne seems to be getting back to his old self. Noonan had a very good game yesterday, I thought, for Rovers. Lots of attacking players seem to be performing well. Shells, I think you'd say the same too. Like, you look at Ellis Chapman there, scored another great goal yesterday. Meepo, I thought, scored some nice goals of late. So lots of attacking players to be excited about. But Rovers seem to be just having issues seeing out games at the minute. And you've always got the usual suspects there who can just make a silly mistake at the wrong time or get sent off. And I think Shells might end up getting a late equaliser in this one. So I'm going to go 2-2. Dylan's going for a 2-0 win to Shamrock Rovers. Last game could be the biggest game of the entire weekend. Sligo Rovers against Cork City.
Yeah. Up in the showgrounds on Saturday. It's a real tough one here. I think Sligo have to do it. There's pressure on them now.
Mm.
They show that they can beat a team around them. I know Waterford are a different kettle of fish to Cork, but I think there's good pressure is what I would say. I don't think Sligo will be fear in this game at all. I think they believe that they'd have the measure of Cork. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Sligo Rovers.
I'm finding this is the most difficult game of the weekend to call, I think, and Dylan must have had the same issue. He's gone 0-0. I think that's a bad prediction in terms of the scoreline, but in terms of a draw, very likely could happen. I always reference the preseason game ended 6-3 between the two teams. I don't think we'll get anything like that, but I think we'll get goals. I'm going to go with Cork 2-1. I think they played well in Daly Mount. I think they played well in Daly Mount. They beat Waterford. They go in there with a bit of confidence. Sligo got hammered tonight. I think Cork can do this 2-1.
Yeah, I see it, but I just think if Sligo do this, if Sligo don't win this, like, they're going to be it nearly turned into just a fight out between Waterford and Sligo who goes into the relegation playoff. I know there's concerns about future incomings and outgoings. I think Cork signed a striker today, but that would have had to have been out of a free agency. So, you know, what was he at for the last few months? I know they need someone up there to do something. So, but I know there's the concern about the summer and where loan players are going to go. But I just think the pressure on Sligo is too great. They need to go and do it.
Right. Let's go to the BTS hotline. And this is our busiest ever hotline. So we'll try and read out every comment, if at all possible. But we are heading towards midnight here. So Lord Chuckles Academy, who is a Sligo Rovers fan, still buzzing from Sligo Rovers against Waterford. Need to keep this pace now. Highest scoring and highest conceding team. You couldn't write a table will take a solid shape in the next 3 or 4 games. So he obviously tweeted that to us before tonight's game. Let's see what else we have got in the hotline here. Make that 7 losses in a row for Waterford. And he's not impressed with the fact that they're linked with Rory Higgins, which is interesting. Dwayne Doyle, Shells fan, frustrating weekend. Deserve 2 wins, but you can concede 4 sloppy goals and expect to win. Playing very well at the moment. Yeah. Hopefully a win is around the corner. Tal on Friday, perhaps. Evan Caffrey, the most underrated player in the league. Discuss. He's been very good this season.
He has.
Scored a great goal the other night as well.
Did.
Dennis will be disappointed with that goal, won't he? He came out, he came to grab a cross and he didn't get much on it. And Caffrey then just absolutely burst it into the net.
Yeah. I think... I don't really know. Like, I know what he's saying, like, playing well, but like they're still conceding goals.
But I think his question was more so Evan Caffrey. Would you agree he's one of the most underrated players in the league?
I don't know. What, is he not getting enough plaudits or whatever you want to call
it? We've probably not mentioned him, really. He's been very good this season.
Okay, well, we righted that wrong.
Very good ball player.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and he's been very good this season, but, like, you know, I don't know, we can have an Evan Caffrey segment on the podcast going forward if you want, but, like, I'm not sure if he's that much on or that underrated. He has been very good for this season, there's no doubt about it, though.
Jim Fitzgerald is a Waterford fan, says, I guess we just need to be better than half the first division, so it looks like Jim's already consigned himself to a playoff. Get what Easter egg did yourself and Gaz get? No, I actually didn't get a single Easter egg. What Did you indulge, did you?
Oh, yeah, I bought a hit. Not a hit, but I bought a few for myself. You know, it's important. You know, it's a good chocolate delivery device. I don't know.
What's going on with the prices of them? Why has this not been talked about anywhere? The price of the Easter eggs has gone crazy.
What do you mean?
Crazy expensive.
They say there's a couple of I think Cadbury's are doing like special ones. I don't know, what do you call it now? Where if you get a crunchy one, it's like there's bits of crunchy in the egg, or if you get a mini egg one,
15 or 16 quid, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, crazy stuff. Yeah, I know, you need to be getting 3 for a fiver in places. That's
what you're looking.
Yeah, you're looking for
the value.
But one thing I will say, I know 3 for a fiver is good, but you're only getting one bar or whatever in a lot of these eggs.
Shrinkflation.
Oh no, it's a disgrace. Now look, Cadbury isn't what it used to be anyway. So you know, it's not the same.
Not
just
when
we're talking
now,
about food,
yeah.
And we, you know, I know there was. I don't know if they had mentioned it. If they were going to Mullingar Town going to be in the third division. I don't know if they were one of the teams that put their. Express the interest or whatever, but I had a kebab out in Mullingar there Sunday night, and it was sensational.
Where was Baba, it?
Baba Turkish Kebab or Baba? Hold on, no.
I got one before in Mullingar. I don't know, was it the same place now? But it was like a small child the size of it. It was absolutely incredible.
You know, this one was very well sized. Like it was big, but not like, oh, geez, I'm going to have a problem tomorrow type size. But the meat was sensational. So anybody passing through Mullingar, Baba Turkish Kebab, friendly staff in there as well. So although, actually, he tried to get, asked him for a Fanta, he tried to give me a Coke, and a colleague of ours was also in Mullingar and told him to go there, and he gave him a Coke instead of a Fanta.
Secret Coke ambassador.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. He must have shares in Coca-Cola or something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, I know there was a couple. I think someone has a question in here somewhere about when's the next kebab review. I did 2 away trips, so it's surprising there was none. Bray, though, was Good Friday. So it was fish and chip after the game. And I was just so sick with the result. I just actually put the boot down and got back to Dundalk and got a fish and chip in the Europa in Dundalk. It was actually quite nice. And then I didn't get a takeaway. On the Easter, I got another takeaway yesterday. Last night, I went back to the Europa in the dock and got a pizza and a curry chip, and it was quite nice. So,
you're savage.
Yeah. Right. Let's get back to the real stuff here. Nigel, going largely under the radar when talking about youth at other clubs, but 17-year-old Josh Cullen and 16-year-old Gavin McIntyre at Harps are two proper gems. Darren McGuinness at only 21 is a fantastic forward, and an equaliser from 18-year-old. Aaron McLaughlin, the kids are all right. Pat, who's Pat Walsh, Waterford fan, between the absolute idiotic backboard lunge in the box to give away the penalty and Rakowski being shrugged off the ball by a lad half his size for the second goal yesterday, they really summed up Waterford's defending this season. Yep, very, very good point. Aidan M, Bowes beat Shamrock Rovers because they wanted it more. First division values about it being surpassed. Premier Division sense of entitlement. Not really sure what he means by that. The most exciting players included Noonan and Brennan, two teenagers. Not a massive blow for Rovers, but it's a huge boost for Bowes. Dermot McDonagh, disappointed overall, but good results in Tolka Park today. He's a Galway fan, so that was from Friday night. Jack, anyone that says that this isn't majority Long's fault is deluded. Leahy, Horton and Casper, all handpicked by him last year, paying fees for 2 of them, and they are the biggest liabilities. 18 months later, still making the same shocking mistakes. Manager was back, can't blame it all on Fleetwood. I did point out some of those signings, to be fair, including Andy Boyle.
Yeah.
Jer O'Brien, people like to look at the points at the end of the rounds to forecast how many points teams might finish at the end of the season. If form stays the same, if that logic is also applied to draws, then defending champion Shells could end up with 16 draws. They already have 6 and 11. Gary's already pointed that out. Peeps Nation, don't know now, but the Derry pensioners might be getting out of their wheelchairs. He says we might have a few extra listeners this week. They were very good tonight, albeit against the team that is bottom of the league.
Yeah, but I haven't heard anything from them in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where were they then chirping up? I didn't hear a bloody word out of anybody. As I said, they won two games in a row in a few days and they're sitting only sixth. That was their fourth and fifth wins so far. So I don't want to hear anything about, you know, bitching and moaning about they can spend their money whatever way they want or any other crap that we heard 6 or 7 weeks ago at this stage.
Scott says support and treaty is just an emotional roller coaster. Alan, Bo's winning another Dublin derby. Gary must be sick of our identity at this stage.
What identity?
Anna, Athlone fan. Athlone, for a team with no manager, played very well in that second half, had so many chances to kill the game, but just couldn't. I would say, I think Longford really, really let Athlone into the game and let them do what they want, but would agree they should have won the game yesterday. Jack, never seen a bigger disaster on a football pitch than backboard for Waterford. We'd nearly be better off getting all the lads back from Cove and Wexford with the way we're going. Yeah, he had a very, very, very bad game. It's not the first time I've seen him have one. Lee, lots of people saying great weekend for Drogheda. Not so sure. We started the weekend 14 points clear of ninth, now 11 points clear. Nowhere near safe, like some people suggesting. So Lee's got his eyes on the bottom half as opposed to Europe.
Will you? You know, you have to, come on, let yourself enjoy some of it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Don't wait for the wheels to come off if you think that's what's going to happen, but wait for it to happen. Enjoy it while you can.
Thomas told me one of the problems with Bradster's whole we'll do what we do and see where we are at the end of the season shtick is that being 2-0 against a Bose team playing in front of a big noisy away support is not the same as being ahead against Cork and Waterford playing in front of a handful of misfits and exiles. Not saying the Bose fans aren't misfits, just that they're close to home and there's a lot of them. It does feel like Rovers have failed to get to the emotional pitch of a lot of Dublin derbies over the last 15 months.
Is he talking about the players or the fans?
I think he's saying that Rovers struggle with the occasion, but like that shouldn't be the case for a team that's played in European competition. So I take his point definitely, but whether that's a reason for their form in Dublin derbies, I don't know. No. Paddy, Waterford getting beat by Sligo and Cork. Good luck, lads. And Paddy is a Galway fan. So Cian Moses Dyer is up there with the best number nines in the country. Bray not making it easy for Dundalk. Okay. I've been very impressed with Dyer, so I don't know why you're chuckling.
Yeah.
Who's the best striker in the league right now? Padraig Amon still, is it?
I don't know. Is there anybody that's that good? Like, who's the top scorer in the division, like, as a striker? I think Owen Elding.
Yeah, has 5 goals.
Yeah. No one's talking about him.
Keane has 5 and he's been injured for weeks. Duffy's got 5 and he's a winger. Warren Davis has 5 as well. He's a good player. I think Moses Dyer.
Yeah, Kiki has 4.
Yeah, like you can't. He's only been in the league a very short period of time, so you can't just go, oh yeah, he's one of the best number 9s in the country. But I think he's got the potential to be. The goal he scored against, was it Shells he scored against the other night where he just cuts inside and bends it in the top corner.
Yeah, class. Really classy finish, yeah. Very confident finish.
Yeah. Declan Crosby, Drogheda were way better today, so that's yesterday, Monday, than Friday. We had a lot of corners and free kicks, but nothing from them. Pats were average enough, but Redmond was very good at the back. Shells passed us off the pitch on Friday, so a point for each game is okay overall. It's so tight, the league. The natural man, Andy Cabbage, great name. I'm just really upset about the whole thing. It was clear it was always going to happen, but still having a hard time dealing with it. RIP Pope Francis.
Yeah, dead right. Great man. Go on. Yeah,
big football fan, of course.
Yeah. Big town fan, I think.
Did you ever watch the Two Popes, actually, no?
No, I can only... No, why?
You haven't got enough. Just League of Ireland is all you watch. No, sorry, yeah. It's good. There's the closing scene in it is... So obviously the Two Popes, it was him and Benedict, like Benedict having stood down. And
Benny, yeah.
But they were like, as a huge football fan, they were watching the World... Benedict was German, he's Argentinian. They were playing each other in the World Cup and they were watching it in the Vatican, like... It's quite a huge thing.
Oh, right, okay. Did they go fair thumps... during it, did they?
Kieran Carrick, Bray breaking records with 6 wins on the bounce from limited to unlimited. Yeah, very, very good. And I think we finally got to the end of the hotline. Bray for sure are going up. Dundalk dropping points as well. We might just get the title, says Jay, a Bray Wanderers fan.
Yeah, why not? Like, you know, as I said, enjoy it when you can. Burst yourself as far as, you know, don't be thinking about when it's going to fall apart. Like,
to say, you wouldn't know that they've won, what, 7 in a row? You wouldn't know from the atmosphere around the Carlisle.
You think so, yeah?
Oh, you'd hear a pin drop there.
Mm. Interesting.
Need to get that sorted.
Yeah, well.
Play should be bouncing. Play should be on wheels right now.
Yeah, I know, but I suppose with a gang of RoboCops going around the place probably doesn't help the situation either, does it?
No, definitely does not.
Yeah.
Look, that is where we will leave it for this week. That was Series 9, Episode 11, so my jaws are killing me here. We got through an awful lot there, but as ever, that was brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Yeah, lots happening in this wonderful league of ours. Plenty more stories to develop over the next week or so. We'll be back again next week to cover it all. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.